we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Surely have enjoyed the words that have gone before, the prayer and the message from Psalm 103. Love that particular psalm, as well as so many other psalms that speak so directly to us as God's little children. As I stand before you this morning, I sure need your prayers. The Lord would be honored, as already mentioned, that we might not just be standing before you making an effort on our part, but that the Lord would bless that effort so it's to his honor. And we pray, Lord, that we might decrease and that he might increase, and that your focus might be on the Lord more for being here. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, the very last chapter in the Gospel of John. This is written by the Apostle John, and it's the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and the life of Christ. And this is one of the final appearances of the Lord to his children. Before he ascended back, it's not the last, but it's one that he had promised that he would go before them unto Galilee, and that after his death and his burial and his resurrection, that the Lord Jesus Christ would appear unto his disciples once again. And this account is where he comes to Peter, and Peter who has been a dear, faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, had found himself on the day of the Lord's crucifixion. Although he thought he would never deny the Lord, though he said he would never deny him, though all men would deny him, Peter had found himself where he had denied the Lord 2 times, just like the Lord said he would. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament declared in Zechariah that the Lord would smite the shepherd and the sheep would then. When the shepherd was smitten, then the sheep would be scattered. And someone would say, well, it wasn't the Lord that smote Jesus, and yes, men did with wicked hands take him and slay him. But all that was according to the determinate counsel of God. It was what God purposed to happen, that Jesus would come into this world and that the Lord, it says it pleased the Lord in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And so, though men were used in that, and they thought they were doing their own will, they were actually carrying out the determinate counsel of God, in not that God caused sin, but that he overruled sin and brought out the wonderful work of our redemption through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a big God, isn't it, to do all that. What he purposed to do, he did perfectly and did righteously. Was really the only way that you and I could be saved was for Jesus to come and live his life and walk a perfect life, and that he would die just as he was intended to die. And the sheep, sure enough, when the shepherd was smitten, the sheep scattered. And I'll tell you where we'd be today without the Lord. We'd be scattered too. But we're gathered together here today, aren't we? And I believe we gather together here today because the Lord reached down and he led us and he directed us. And so we don't have really anything today that we can pat ourselves on the back for, but rather we're to give the glory to the Lord that he has given us a hunger and he's given us a thirst and he's given us a desire to be here. He's given us a desire to know more about his word, and he tells us about here he comes in an appearing, much like he's come even today to appear to us. The disciples didn't see him at first, but he made himself manifest. Sometimes he's right there with us. Matter of fact, we don't have to say sometimes, do we? You know what the Bible says? That he's always with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He said that to Joshua, but in Hebrews he tells us that's not only for Joshua, that's for you and me. That the Lord will never leave you nor forsake us. And because he'll never leave us nor forsake us, we ought to remember that and have peace in our hearts, knowing we're not alone. Sometimes you just feel all alone, and Lord, when you feel all alone, it's not a good feeling. But when you feel the Lord's presence, doesn't matter what you're going through, doesn't matter what storm you're in, don't matter what problem you're in, when you feel the Lord's presence, then all is well. We sang that hymn, all is well, even at death, all's going to be well. So don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid about living. Don't be afraid about dying, because it is well. Because the Lord is on his throne, and he's made promises, and he proved that by coming here and dying for us. That's how his love was proven to us. And then when he died, he rose again, and he's now seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And in the person of the Holy Spirit, he's come into your heart, and he's with you right now in the seat where you're at. He's right there. And we ought to look for him and lean on him, depend upon him. And all I'm here to do is just tell you about it. That's the blessing God's given me. That's the charge he's given me, to tell you about it. Tell God's little children how great a Savior it is that you have. He says, after these things, Jesus shewed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise shewed he himself. That word shewed means he manifested himself to them. And after these things, it's talking about all that had taken place. Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, Jesus' resurrection. And Jesus told them in Matthew 26 that after I have risen, I will appear unto thee at Galilee. And he'd already appeared to them in Jerusalem. I remember when they were gathered there for fear of what was going to take place. Jesus comes in. The disciples were there with the exception of Thomas. The first time. This is the third time. But he came the first time and he appeared unto them and he showed them his hands and his feet and the evidence that I am alive. I'm not a spirit. I am bodily resurrected, which proves to us that one day we're going to be bodily resurrected. We're going to be with him, body, soul, and spirit, forever to be with the Lord. And he had showed them that, and Thomas wasn't there, so 8 days later, he comes a second time when Thomas is there and shows himself to Thomas. You know why he came back? Well, because everything he does is perfect. He does it when he wants to, how he wants to. That's why you and I don't need to worry about it. Just leave it in the hands of the Lord, and he'll work it out. And it's in his hands anyway. So may God give us grace not to be worried today, not to be overwhelmed, but just trust in the Lord. He came back on the 8th day because Thomas needed to see him. Though Thomas didn't know all about that, Jesus knew what Thomas needed. And though I don't know all about it, and you don't know about it, Jesus knows what you're going to need. So he's there for you. Isn't that good news to know that he's there for you? And he came to Thomas and he said, Thomas, if you need to, Thomas, touch me. See, Thomas. And there Thomas didn't really. He said, until I put my hands in the nail prints in his hands and I put my hand in his side, I will not believe. But that wasn't the case, because once he saw him, he said, my Lord and my God. And it's a personal thing that he was blessed with the Lord to see. And aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't give up on Peter when he denied him? And aren't you also thankful that he didn't give up on Thomas when he denied him? But rather than giving up on them, he came to where they were and restored them back. Because the Lord who brought you out of the grave is going to, He's going to keep you all the way. Salvation isn't something he turns over to you and said, now it's up to you to hold on to it. Because if he did that, you know how many of us would be saved? Not one. Because even when we would do good, evil is present with us. And no evil can stand in his sight. So our salvation has never been based on what we did for the Lord. It's been based on what the Lord did for us. My works towards him have always been imperfect. His works for us have always been perfect, as all of his works are. He cannot, will not ever fail. That's the God we serve. Here he comes to them on this wise and he shows himself. And there they were together, and there were 7 of them here, of the 11. And we have Simon, who had denied the Lord. We have Thomas, who had doubted the Lord. We have then Nathanael of Cana, and the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John. And then we have two other disciples, which the Bible doesn't mention. Some think it was probably Andrew and Philip. They're probably correct about that. But it evidently isn't something we need to know. You know how I know that? Because he didn't mention their names. Because if it had been something we needed to know, he would have given it to us. It's good to know today we've got a God so big that he will give you what you need to know. And what you don't need to know, you don't need to know. And we can be at peace about that. That's good. Today we have he truly furnishes us unto all good work. I believe this Bible truly furnishes us all unto all good work. I believe it's the Word of God. It's been the Word of God. It is today the Word of God. It will forever be the Word of God. It is without time, just like he is eternal. It is the eternal Word of God. That's a wonderful thing to think about in this timely world where everything is always changing. I buy a good pair of shoes and I think I can just keep buying that same pair again and again. The next thing you know, they discontinue it. Y'all ever have that happen? Or even worse, they make it better. They make it new and improved. And sometimes the new and improved work out okay, but most of the time, you know, the new and improved isn't as good as the old. I'm glad we don't need a new and improved book. Amen. I'm glad we don't need a new and improved God. I'm glad we don't need a new and improved church. But the old primitive, the old, the original, what God has given us is all that we need. And our Savior doesn't need any changing or updating. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You and I can have peace trusting in him, just like they did. There was Simon and Thomas and Nathanael and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, two other of his disciples. And there they are near the Sea of Tiberias, which is the same as the Sea of Galilee, same place where they grew up, many of them, where they fished, where they had a livelihood. He'd come there in Luke 5 and called them from the nets, and they're back there. And the reason they're there was that, or the reason they should have been there was to see Jesus. That was their focus. They were there to see Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said, I'll go before you unto Galilee, and I'm going to show myself unto you at Galilee. You can read that over in Mark and Matthew 26, and you'll see again, Jesus says it himself. And he says it before he died in Matthew 26, and then he says it again in Matthew 28, that he's going to go before them unto Galilee. And he'd already shown himself to them twice, and this is the third time he's going to show himself to them. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Now, he appeared other times. But these are given in the Word of God that you and I might know we have a resurrected Savior. You know, if there was no resurrection, everything we're doing today would be a waste of time. My preaching would be a waste of time. Your believing would be a waste of time. The Bible says we would still be in our sins and there would be no hope of ever being with him. But I want you to know we have an eyewitness account given in the Word of God that Jesus rose again. And we have the evidence given by him appearing unto his disciples. And he's bringing them back together. Simon Peter, no doubt, felt like I probably have wasted my life, my ministry. I've served the Lord, but now at the very end, when he really needed me, when he really was counting on me, when I had told him, I'll never leave you, Lord, I'll be there, and I'll just, can you imagine how he felt? There on that occasion when he got in a mess. You ever get in a mess and say stuff you shouldn't have said? You ever get in a mess and do things you shouldn't have done? You ever get in a mess where you've gone the wrong way so many times you think, God, I can't be used now. I can't be of any benefit. And the Lord saying, oh, yes, you can. You know why? Not because you've done things right, Peter, but because I washed your sin. Psalm 103 fits right in with this text. Because he removed our sins how far from us? As far as the east is from the west. And you know how many they'll be remembered against you? They'll never be remembered against you anymore. I'll never forget the time Daddy told me about preaching a funeral. And after he had preached the funeral of a certain gentleman, and I don't remember who it was and maybe didn't know, but he shared this with me. He said there was a man that came to him and he said, you didn't share everything about that man as you were in the stand talking about him. There was a whole lot of things that you left out. You mentioned some good things, but I knew a lot of things you could have shared with everybody that you didn't share about that man. Daddy said, he just looked at him and he said, well, I believe in the Lord, don't remember it against him anymore. Who am I to bring it up? Isn't it wonderful to know we have forgiveness? And we can look over one another for good, even though we might know a whole lot of other stuff about each other. Let's look at what he told us to look at. Let's look over one another for the good. And if you see any good in me or I see any good in you, it's the work of this Savior who did that in your heart. And we're to give him honor and glory. And I have spent far too much time looking at the bad rather than looking at the good. And it hasn't been for my benefit. It's been for my hurt and my detriment. Jesus here came to them and he knew them. He knew them better than they knew themselves. And here he comes to Peter and Thomas and he gives them just what they need. And they need fellowship with him. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Sounds like me. Here he's supposed to be waiting on the Lord. The Lord said, I'm coming. Simon probably just got impatient. Y'all ever get impatient? Ever get like, I got to do something. You know, I got to do. You know when you get ready to do something and the Lord hadn't told you to do it and you just got to do something? You'll find the Bible full of places where God's little children get impatient. And rather than waiting on the Lord, they say, I got to do something. Peter had to say something. Here, Peter says, I go a-fishing. Let's go fishing. I know how to fish. You know how to fish. Let's go fish. Let's just go back. Is there anything wrong with fishing? No, when it's the Lord's time to fish. But when you go fishing, when it's not God's time to go fishing, you're going to be as successful as Peter was. You're going to work hard all night long, but you'll catch nothing. And how do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. That makes it very simple. It says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. So he's messing up. And guess what? When one of God's little children mess up, the next thing you know, you'll find others of God's little children going right in with them. We're sheep for a reason, aren't we? All I got to do is say something wrong. Next thing you know, you'll be saying something wrong because I said something wrong. All I got to do is lead you the wrong way. And the next thing you know, some of God's little children will be falling in that path. And we can be misled. That's why it's important that you let your light so shine before men that others may see your what? Your good works that come from the Lord and following his word, and it glorifies your Father because it has an impact on those around you. Mamas and daddies, you have an impact on your children. Grandfathers and grandmothers, you have an impact on your children. Each of us as God's children, you can be an encouragement to God's little children, or you can be a discouragement. You can say, I go a-fishing, which means I'm not going to wait on the Lord anymore. I'm going to do what I want to do. And the next thing you know, everybody will say, well, let's go do it. Ain't Brother Peter's doing it. That's one thing you saw as a teacher a lot of times. One child kid would get in trouble, and the first thing you do is find out the one who started it. You know, of course, who knows who started it? But somebody caused me to do it. It wasn't me. I just was following them. But there, here he was. He says, I go a-fishing. You think of this verse when you're about to do. Here's the key. Do what the Lord would have you to do and follow him because we know he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I believe he does that all the time. And when we're seeking the Lord and seeking his presence, we're going to be on the right track. He'll tell you what to do from his word and in the spirit in your heart. And when you do that, you're going to be in the right way. And when you fail to do that, well, you're going fishing. He says, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. Notice that. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately. That means they didn't waste any time. A whole lot of times, good things in our life, we just tarry, put it off. Don't go at it right away. I hope you came to church this morning immediately. I hope you just desired to get here. You wanted to be here. And you were pushing at it. But you know, sometimes places we don't really want to go, we don't go immediately, do we? We kind of hold off. I'll get it done. I don't have to go right now. I'll hold it. But here they were going immediately, which means to me they were excited about doing it. Hey, we're going fishing. I can see them now. I'm going fishing. We'll go with you. We're going back, and we're probably hungry. They probably needed that. But you know what? Sometimes we think we need things we don't need. Sometimes we go after things. It seems right. It seems good. But the key was the Lord told them to wait until I come see you. And guess where Jesus was when they're out there fishing? He's there on the shore. What they're going to do is get something to eat. He already has what they have and what they need to eat. He doesn't ask them for their fish. He already has prepared breakfast for them. He knew where they were going to be. And here's the wonderful thing. He came anyway. You ever wonder why the Lord has not just clean gone and left us all? Because of how negligent at times we've been. How we sometimes just go fishing because we want to go rather than waiting on Him. You know why He hasn't? Because He loved you before the very foundation of the world, and He died for you before the foundation on the tree of the cross, and He came back and has come to you and is now providing for you this moment, this hour, this day, and that'll be true tomorrow and the next day until Jesus comes again, or we can meet Him in death. And we can trust and lean upon Him because He's Jesus and we're His little lambs and sheep. That really just settles it. He says, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. I got caught nothing. I got all of it highlighted, but I got caught nothing. I got yellow highlight, but I got green highlight on it. Caught nothing. They caught nothing. What did they catch? Did it say they caught a few little fish? I read one commentator said that may have meant that they caught a few things, but not very much. That isn't what it said, is it? I don't know how you come away with that. You know what they caught? They didn't catch a tadpole. They didn't catch anything. They didn't catch a minnow. They didn't catch a throwaway. They didn't catch a little fish. They caught nothing. They're dipping their net. Over in the Sea of Galilee, I wonder how those fishermen felt. We've been on this sea. We've been fishing here all of our lives. We know there are fish here. And we're out here laboring away, doing what we were trained and brought up to do, and we're catching nothing. You know what you and I can do when the Lord's not with us? Nothing. That means we'll just get tired. We'll labor. We'll get weary. We may wear ourselves out, but it will be of no spiritual profit. And I have felt that in my own personal life at times when I get outside so quickly and so easily, where the Lord would have me to be doing what He would not have never told me to do. And my what is the end result of that? I catch nothing. And then I've got circled here, but. I had a little sister that pointed out the but, said to me, those dear little sister, Lisa, said, I've been reading the Bible and the buts just point out to me as I'm reading along, the but have come. Here's a but that I want to, she may be online. If not, I'm going to talk to her later about it. But here's a but. Here they were out there working, laboring hard. Here's something that made the difference. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Oh, that's a good but, isn't it? Because even though they had forgotten Him and that He was coming, He told them He was, Jesus kept His word. Some people say if you don't do what Jesus tells you, He won't do what He said. Now I'm telling you what Jesus says you can count on. When He said when He has saved His people from their sins, you can count on that. All of His promises are amen and yea and in Him amen. And it's to the glory of God. You can count on Jesus keeping His word. He says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore just like He had promised to be. And He came at the just right time. And don't think for a minute that He didn't know where they were. He had seen them right there all night long, toiling and catching nothing. And then it says, Jesus stood on the shore. And then here's another but right in the middle of that word. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Oh, this is for me. Hope for you. Jesus is there watching over them. They don't have a clue He's there. They are oblivious to His presence. Did that change the fact that He was there? No. Because He saw them and everything that they were doing, and He had mercy on them. And this could go a long time, so I'm going to sum it up here. It says, then Jesus saith unto them, children. In other words, I love you. I gave my life for you. I died for you. You're my disciples. I'm calling you to the service. I'm going to call and show you my great love. And when I show you my great love, I'm going to say, do you love me? And if you love me, you feed my lambs. If you love me, you feed my sheep. If you love me, you feed my sheep. You be faithful unto me. You follow me, Peter. You do what I've told you to do, and I love you. And though you are straying here, I've not left you. I've come where you are, and I'm showing you, he's going to show them that he had provided everything that they ever needed. And though Peter had made a big mess, the Lord had done everything that was necessary to have him be that faithful minister that stood on the day of Pentecost. You read it over there in the Acts of the Apostles, and preach in such power that the Lord used that preaching to the south, to the benefit and to the blessing of his little sheep children as he fed those little lambs and those sheep. We even read the writings of Peter today by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. He says, then said Jesus, and then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now, were there fish in that water? Absolutely. But you know who obeyed the voice? You know who obeys the, you know who the fish listened to? The winds and the waves obey his will. And the fish in the water obey his will too. I got a lot more here, but I just want to share with you this. 153 fish were obedient to the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had been right there in that water all the time. Either that or he made them right there at that moment. Whichever way, he could do it either way he wanted to. And that empty net that kept being drawn back and forth when they put their net on the right side, do you suppose those fishermen hadn't ever put their net on the right side? Do you think they had just sat there going to the left side all night long and never tried the right side? You know they went both ways, had done all of that, but they remembered over in Luke 5, nevertheless, at thy will, we'll let down the net. And they did what he said. And 153 fish, not little ones, every one of them were great fish. That wasn't a small, that's in itself. You catch a bunch of things, you're going to have some things that are little. But when the Lord's in the matter, it's all good. And 153, somebody said, why 153? Because there was 153. That's how many they count. Not 152, not 154. There was 153. That's what the Lord would have in the net. That's what went in the net. And every one of them was so great. And here's another miracle. The net should have broken, but it didn't break. Because the Lord who created the fish and guided them also keeps your net. Y'all believe the Lord can bless you as he blessed you? Should we pray? We be praising him? Shouldn't we love him? And if we love him, what should we do? Feed his lambs, feed his sheep. You'd be a help to, you'd be an encouragement to these young people that have come to be with us. You'd be an encouragement to the older folks. You'd be an encouragement to one another. Be a help to one another. Live for the Lord. Live because, do you love me, Peter, more than these? In other words, do you love anything more than me? Peter, love me first. That's what the Lord was teaching. And he's the one who gave you the love in your heart for him. Love him with all your heart, your mind, and soul. Put him first. And you won't love anybody less because of that. You know what you'll really be able to do? You'll be able to love others like you never loved them before. Because the source of love is number one in your life. He's already number one because he made himself there. We should exalt him there and place him there in our thoughts and our conscience. I haven't begun to talk about what I like to talk about, but I'm thankful to talk about what I have. And may God be praised and honored and glorified as we live our lives in honor and praise unto him. I'm thankful for a Lord who forgives. I'm thankful for a Lord who's done for me what I could not do for myself. I'm thankful for a Lord who's given me sweet fellowship with others of his children. May the Lord help us to love one another as he has loved us. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.